We feel it's great to be a part of the body of Jesus that assembles in this building from week to week. Visitors, we are especially thankful that you have seen fit to come and be a part of what we're trying to do, and that is we're just trying to praise God. God is good, and we're just trying to honor Him and let Him know how thankful we are for the way He has blessed us. We'd like to ask everyone, if you would at this time, visitors and members alike, to take just a moment, fill out a registration card. You'll find those right in front of you. If you'll take one, fill that out. The visitors, the card that has the word welcome on it, is intended for you, and it helps us if you will fill out that part that says, how did you hear of this church? It really helps us in planning the work here, and of course, members, give us whatever information you have that we need to have on that card that you'll be filling out, and then pass those toward the center aisles. I've been away for two Sundays, and it's just great to be back. You cannot imagine how good it is to be back, how much I miss this place. I will have to confess to you that I came up and introduced ourselves to one of our members this morning, and I am really sorry that I did that. Thought they were a visitor. Maybe they thought I was weird and all the rest, but it is just so good to just to be back here at this place. The Lord has been real good to us. I was able to, Judah and I were able to see some grandchildren on this last trip we hadn't seen in 2.5 years, and you know how good that is to be able to see, especially those who've been in Africa, and they've grown like weeds, at least one of them, while we were away, while they were away, and that was good. And then I was able to preach on a lectureship in Evansville, Indiana, and do some writing on the book of Revelation up in the Carolinas, preach while I was in the Carolinas. And then yesterday, Friday and Saturday of this week, I was in Central Florida, had a men's retreat sponsored by the congregation at Inverness, 44 different men from 5 little small congregations all over that area. And just to stand there and think about the fact that what I'm saying is going to impact all of those 5 congregations really builds a fire under you. So if my voice is a little bit raspy today, you can understand the why of that. But it is good to be back. I love this place, and I just miss it so much whenever I am not here. There are some lessons that we need to learn from the lives of others. You and I need to have an appreciation of that. And there are those individuals who learn lessons from us while they look at our lives. And that's really what Paul has in mind in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at those verses that are there. Do you ever ask somebody to write a letter of reference for you, a letter of commendation? Evidently, in the first century, there were those individuals who had letters that were written by other brethren that say, this is somebody that you ought to receive. In fact, in the book of Acts chapter 18, when Apollos leaves and goes over to or leaves Ephesus and goes over to Corinth, there are letters. There's a letter that the church writes there that he might carry that letter to introduce him to the church that was there. And so Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says to the church at Corinth, you need to receive us even though we don't have a letter of recommendation. There are some others who may be there who have letters of recommendation, and the implication may be that their letters are forgery. I know not for sure, but there were false teachers in this church trying to destroy the church, and maybe they even forged letters so that they'd give them credibility. And so Paul says, look, you don't need letters of recommendations and commendation for us. For the letter that we have that commends us is the church that is there. You are our epistles. You are our epistles known and read by all men. You see, Paul says, if you want to know whether or not we are an apostle, if you want to know whether we are messengers of God, then you need to think about what God has done there in the city of Corinth. A very, very pagan, evil city. Paul had been there and he preached for 18 months altogether in that city. And the end result of that was a congregation that was filled with individuals who had spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 shows that there was no church that had more spiritual gifts than them. And so Paul says, look, you are the church of Jesus Christ. And the evidence is that there has been written on your heart by the very Spirit of God through the impact of these prophets and those teachers that were there, given the messages of God that they took and put them in their hearts, written on their hearts, was a message to everybody that was around them that they really, really were the children of God. They were known and read by all men. That's an amazing concept. And in this lesson today, I want to emphasize that same part of this in the latter part of this lesson. That if God is real and there is reality to what we're trying to be in this place, that we too are an epistle that can be read by others. There are some great lessons to be learned from others' lives. Let's look at several examples of these. We'll look at some Old Testament examples. We'll look at the example of Jesus, the example of Paul and of Timothy and of two New Testament churches. And then we'll come to that part of this lesson where we will talk about the things that are happening at Palm Beach Lakes. And so we'll be looking at Old Testament and Jesus and Paul and Timothy and New Testament churches and then the application here. Let's go first to the Old Testament. There's a story in the Old Testament that is an epistle written from God. And it has to do with the events in Sodom and Gomorrah. And oh, how America needs to hear these words from God. You do not need to know the story about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot moved into that city. It was an immoral city. Homosexuality was so prevalent there that even the word Sodom is used in our own day to refer to the actions of homosexuals. What does God feel about that? Known and read of all men are the events from Genesis chapter 19 and 20. And having done and shown God's attitude toward that, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 that God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction. Hear this. Hear these words, America, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly. Folks, in the last 10 years, the attitudes of your neighbors and the attitudes of those around you in the schools and in the workplace has done an unbelievable change and turned 180 degrees from what it was 20 years ago for sure. We have arrived at a land of political correctness so much that the time may soon come in America that even to read these words from 2 Peter causes an individual to be subject to arrest, as it has already happened in Canada and has endangered the very existence of the preaching of the truths of God on sin. We need to read the epistle written in the lives of those individuals in Sodom. God has set them forth as an example to those who afterwards, from that day on, extending all the way to America in the 21st century, as an example to those who live ungodly lives, stand and look at the burning ashes of Sodom and Gomorrah and read that epistle. And in Jude, having only one chapter, but in verse 7 says, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manners to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, they are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Folks, you know what happened to the sexually immoral people in Sodom? They left this earth in burning fire. and entered into that unseen world called Hades, a place of torment where even the rich man says, I am tormented in these flames. From the fires of earth to the fires of Hades, and ultimately to the fires of Gehenna, hell. We need to read that epistle that's there. We need to read in the Old Testament the lives of those prophets that were there, for they also are an epistle. An epistle meaning a letter. And so James chapter 5 and verse 10, as James was talking about the importance of patience and steadfastness, my brethren, he said, whenever you're about ready to get to give up, and whenever you're somewhat discouraged, and you may not, well, you just need more patience. Take, for example, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Take them as an example of suffering and patience. You and I need to understand that when I read about Noah preaching 120 years and converting only 7 people, when I read about Jeremiah and the entirety of his life, and as far as we know, converted no one. When we read about all of those prophets that were there in the Old Testament, and they had to stand and proclaim the Word of God, and they were rebuked, and people didn't want them to be there. They took Jeremiah and threw him down into a pit where there was mud, mired up in the bottom of that pit that was there. They left him there, wanting to starve him to death. Take that as an example, brother and sister in Christ, whenever family members try to discourage you. Take that as an example whenever in the workplace you try to stand up for that which is right, and people begin to mock you, and they're trying to keep you from opening your mouth and stating what is right. Take that as an example whenever Satan brings adversity in your life, economic problems and things of that nature, trying to get you so depressed that you lose the focus of what life is all about, and that is to stand for right and do right. Read the lives of those prophets and learn steadfastness. And then we're all acquainted with those Jews in the wilderness. Those who left with Moses and came across the Red Sea and went out into that wilderness, and because of their unbelief, they failed to enter into the promised land. And they too are an epistle that we need to read. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, where he says, therefore let us be diligent to enter into that rest, into our heavenly Canaan, into our heavenly promised land, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Read the story of those who heard the voice of God at the foot of Mount Sinai, who saw the manifestation of God in the fiery cloud and in the pillar that led them around. Stand there in awe and see their unbelief, and read the epistle of their life and learn the lesson from reading that epistle, and that is, I must not ever disobey God. Steadfastness. And the same thought is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, where it says, all of these things happen, for an example. They're written down for our admonition. You know why there's a book in the Bible called Exodus? Do you know why there's a book in the Bible called Leviticus and Numbers? Do you know why there is a written record of 40 years of the history of mankind on this earth that covers 4 books of the Old Testament, a 40-year period? Think of that. Think of the length and the number of chapters in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. They only cover a 40-year period of time. Why are those things written down? Would it make any difference whether we knew about all of those events there in the wilderness? What difference would it make if we'd just said, and Moses led them into the promised land, and here's the rest of the story about the judges. You know why they're written down? This verse says, God wrote these stories down for our admonition, not for their benefit. They knew what was happening. There's an epistle to be read. in the 600,000 graves out in that wilderness. And in your imagination, as you may have in reality, walked through a cemetery and read the words that are on the tombstones. One woman who was a hypochondriac had engraved on her tombstone, "I told you I was sick." Interesting to walk through the graveyard and look at the things that are there. Walk through the graveyard of the wilderness of Sinai and Paran and the wilderness of Sin and all those other places they were there in those 40 years. And look at 603,548 tombstones that are there, and in your imagination, read these words: "Fail to enter in because of disobedience." Read the tombstones. But looking away from the New Testament, Old Testament, and look in the New Testament at Jesus. We need to read the epistle that's written by the life of Jesus. Peter says in reference to Jesus, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. You see, WWJD did not originate with some bracelets teens started wearing 10 or 15 years ago. WWJD is found in the New Testament. What would Jesus do? And young people, especially when I was your age, and I was trying to make decisions about my life, about what I ought to do, the kind of a people I ought to associate with, how I ought to react to the circumstances that are happening in my life and even in my home with my parents. One of the principles that governed my life then was to recognize that Jesus was a teenager. Jesus grew up in a home. Jesus grew up in an environment, in a city, that had the reputation, that whole area, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And I'd ask myself, if Jesus were right now in my place dealing with what I'm doing, what would Jesus do? But that's not just a lesson for young people. It's a lesson for every one of us, and that is to read the epistle of Jesus' life, known and read of all men, given to us as an example that we should follow in His steps. Jesus, when He was on this earth, after He'd washed the disciples' feet, He said, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." He who is the light of the world that shines in a world of darkness has said in reference to the body of Jesus, "You are the light of the world." We reflect the light that Jesus brought to this earth, because where Jesus walked is where we walk. And what Jesus did is what we do. And we manifest to a world of darkness the light of heaven, because we are like the light of heaven, Jesus Himself. But think about Paul. Think about how much you know about the life of Paul. We know so very little about the life of Matthew. We know so very little about even the life of John, the disciple that Jesus loved. Think about how much we know about the life of Paul. You want to read his epistle? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Imitate me. Be followers of me like I am a follower of Jesus." There's an example. You want to know how you ought to live? Then read the life of Paul. Read the epistle of his life. And learn from it. And to the church at Philippi, he says, "Brethren, Join in following my example. And there's something wonderful in my life, being able to look at mature Christians and saying, that's the way I want to be. As a younger preacher, I said, that's the way I want to be when I'd hear great preachers. Never made it. But I'd look at them and they became a model for me. I had a big brother, still do. And I wish above every measure I could be as good as he is. Godly parents. And as I've gotten older, I look even to those who are younger than me, not those who are older, but those who are younger than me, and think they are so far along in their relationship to Jesus Christ. I wish in that part of my life I had the faith and the fidelity that they've got in their lives even at a younger age than I have. Reading the epistles of the lives of those around you. Paul had been in Philippi. He knew that jailer and his family, and he knew Lydia and her household. And he writes to them and he said, now you saw how I behaved while I was there in Philippi, and when I've come back again, then you do what I do. Read my epistle. You see, because Paul walked in the footsteps of Jesus, when I walk in the footsteps of Paul, when I imitate Paul, I imitate Jesus. And there's an unbelievable important principle that's found here, especially for our young people. Look at what the Bible talks about young people being an example. Reading the epistle of the lives of young people. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. Young people, there are verses in the Bible God put there specifically for you. Listen to the voice of God when He says, you, young people, be an example to the believers, to everybody else in this auditorium. You be an example to the believers in the words that you say, in the way you behave yourself, the way you conduct yourself, in the manifestation of agape love, in the very spirit that you show to others, and in your faith in God, and in your purity. Young people, show us how to do this. That's God's message in the Bible, especially for you. Let us who are older read in your life. Known and read of all men, let us read in your life what these qualities mean. Lead us even in your youth. And there are two churches, New Testament churches, that are set forth as an example. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7 says, you became examples to all of those in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, church at Philippi. For from you the word of God has sounded forth not only to Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out. So we do not need to say anything. Here's a missionary church there in Thessalonica that was known around the world. And they set an example around the world for what the church ought to be like. Read about this church. Read their lives. Known and read of all men. And then in 2 Corinthians, the verse that we read in the beginning, Paul looked at the church in Corinth. And he said, you are our epistle. Known and read. Of all men. I want to bring a solemn charge to every one of you here this day at Palm Beach Lakes. The world is reading you. Not necessarily in this building, though visitors who come into this place read you. But as you walk out of this building and we scatter all over for miles north and south and west, all over the place, somewhat east, people are reading. What are they seeing? As the body of Jesus in this place, we need to be known and read of all men in the devotion that we have to God. Not that we're perfect, not that we never make mistakes, but there's never any doubt in those in the workplace or in the school or in the neighborhood or in the family that the thing most important to us is we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. People are reading the level of your devotion. Do you understand that? In the decisions that you make. People are making a read of what Christ does in the lives of others because they're reading what Christ has done in your life. They're in darkness. And they may be starving to death, not even knowing for sure that they're hungry, but out here craving everything on this earth and running wild, trying to find some satisfaction of the flesh that they might stifle the hungering that they have in their spirit and in their souls. And they're reading your life to say, does that person have the answer? In the devotion we have to God. When the world reads us as a church, may they read in us our devotion to truth. That we study the Word. That we crave and hunger after the Word. That we become knowledgeable about the Word. And that we will not move away from that which the Bible says. Because the Bible is always right. Devotion to truth. But not only that, may the world read in our lives love and compassion. Look at the life of Jesus. And even to those who were following Him for the loaves and fishes, He showed compassion. Jesus showed love and compassion to a woman who was worthy of death, taken in the very act of adultery, loving and compassionate. And I shall marvel as long as I live on this earth, the imagery I have in my mind of Jesus kneeling and washing Judas's feet. And the love that we have for each other. And the compassion that we show to each other. We laugh together. We cry together. We share heartaches and sighs. People are reading us as to whether we are playing church or whether we are church. And finally, in our sacrificial spirit of serving others. Not what can you do for me? What can I do for you? That's Christianity. The principle did not originate in the speech of Kennedy that says, ask not what this country can do for you. Principles found in the Bible, not in reference to country, but in reference to all of those in the world in which we live. We need, above every other people, to be recognized as the most helpful. I marvel sometimes when I see those who have a servant's heart who go out of their ways to serve others. Please and thank you and gratitude are not just words that come from some southern culture. The attitude of thankfulness comes out of heaven itself. And the attitude of kindness comes out of heaven. And the attitude of serving others. We are being read by all men. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you that you are in our lives. And we pray, Father, that we may live before this world that is filled with despair and anxieties. May we live before this world the very peace that our faith in you has brought into our hearts and into our lives. Father, in the last few weeks, the things that have happened in this very country have created a spirit of unrest and anxiety. Help us to remember, Father, that you are still on a throne. And because you are the captain of the ship of our lives, no storm can destroy us. Help us, Father, not just in that part of our lives, but in every way that we live, in every relationship, in every place we find ourselves, that we unashamedly let people read the book of our lives as we manifest as the light, as the lights in this world, we manifest He who is the light of the world. Forgive us, Father, as your children, of mistakes that we make, and help us to do better. In Jesus' name, amen. We are at this time going to sing a song of invitation that individuals who have not yet made the decision to follow Jesus could do that. We follow the examples of becoming a child of God just like we follow the examples of how to live once we are children of God. One becomes a child of God because they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know John 3:16. I don't have to tell you what it says. But it takes more than just believing that Jesus is the Son of God. There must be a decision of commitment. I'm going to repent. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 says, except you repent. And then when I have confessed with my mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, I can be baptized, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, for the remission of my sins. Gone forever, erased from the mind of God, never to have to deal with them again. And He adds me to that body, to that church, to that family that He started when He came and lived on this earth. His church, His body, His kingdom, His family. And then He says to those of us who are in His family, now you be faithful. I'll give you the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. If we can help you in your spiritual life in any way, won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?